Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Scruggs has it all. John Deere tractors, big and small. Loaded out gators and mowers for every yard. Implements, we've got them. Plus expert sales, full parts, and factory authorized service. Scruggs, we have what you want for less.
It's Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
You're listening to Good Things with Rebecca Turner.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
Bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and things to do. Now, here's Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Super Talk Mississippi. You're tuned into your Radio Happy Hour. That's the Good Things. I'm your host, Rebecca Turner. And don't forget, you can listen to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. Also streaming from that Super Talk Mississippi app and your local Super Talk Mississippi radio station. You can watch us too. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Super Talk TV. And there are so many good things happening on main streets and downtowns across the Magnolia State. So today, we get to highlight what's happening downtown this weekend. It is brought to you by the Mississippi Main Street Association. And don't forget, you can always go to msmainstreet.com/calendar to get more information on upcoming events. And Brandon Main Street, man, they've got some hopping good times for you coming up this weekend into the weekend. Joining us today is Meredith to tell us a little bit more. Welcome, Meredith.
Hey, Rebecca. Thank you for having us.
Well, it's a good time to have you. It's a lot of good events going on, and the weekend's looking absolutely beautiful, so that's a good thing as well. But I think you all have a few things coming up for the rest of the week into the weekend. So what's getting going in Brandon?
Yes, so Thursday night, tomorrow night, we will have our first spring wine down downtown with several wines, some featured as a sangria or a spritzer from 042 Wine and Spirits. They will be inside our retail stores. We have a sommelier who will be on hand to talk about the wines. And that is from 5:30 to 8. Tickets are available on Brandon Main Street's website, brandonmainstreet.com, through our ticketing platforms, SimpleTix, and also on our Facebook and our Instagram handles. And then we, on Saturday, have the third annual Children's Hopping High Tea. It is the cutest event. Tickets are $12 a child. You will get a picture with the Easter Bunny, have tea, have cookies. It's come and go from 11 to 2 in downtown Brandon. And it's also going to be in partnership with the Mississippi Central Down Syndrome Society in honor of World Down Syndrome Day on Saturday.
So is this one you have to dress nice? When I hear tea, Meredith, I think Sunday best or dress to impress kind of thing. Or is this more of a casual Easter tea party?
Snappy casual
Snappy casual?
probably, you know, not Sunday best, but not super casual. You know, your girls and your boys and their sweet smock type outfits, but they're still kind of casual. But jeans are totally appropriate.
I got you. Okay. So don't necessarily have to go all out. I would say then come dressed as you would feel comfortable to do. Is there an age range for this, Meredith, for the children's Easter tea party?
Typically, we see children ages, you know, infant or 1 year old to about 13 years old. Somewhere kind of in the middle, probably more like 3 to 8 is our kind
of. Oh, Meredith, did we lose you? Well, I would say the 1 to 13 would give you a good opportunity to get in siblings as well or make them come along if you want to enjoy a little tea party with the Easter Bunny. It sounds like a lot of fun that they're having there in downtown Brandon. We got Meredith back?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh,
yes.
You're fine. It happens occasionally. You know, technology is great, Meredith, until it's not. But I love that age range, mainly for families who are going to organize with siblings. So it feels like this would be a good event. When you say come and go, when I think of a tea, I mean, you sit down and kind of have your tea and cookies. Is this one of those things where you're able to do that on the, you know, the perimeter and then you kind of move and get your photo as it happens with the Easter Bunny? Would that be kind of how it works?
Yes. Absolutely. We have tables and chairs and a whole little kind of seating area set up. along the lawn, and then when you're ready for Easter Bunny photo, you walk over there. That way you're not standing in a line the whole time for either activity.
See, love that. And where is this taking place, downtown Brandon?
Yeah, so it will be at Galano Komen's Raymond James office in downtown Brandon, and it's kind of at the corner of Lewis Wilson and Highway 80. When you purchase your ticket, it will send you the address of where the party is from 11 to 2.
Well, I know that's coming up this weekend. Anything else we need to put on our calendar for the upcoming weeks, Meredith, for Brandon Main Street?
Yes, so on April 18th, our big Crawfish Crawl 5K returns. We will have a kids' fun run that we're adding this year. It's $15 a child to sign up for the fun run. We will follow with a taste of the race, kind of restaurants from all over the area offering tastings. That's another ticketed portion of Crawfish Crawl. And then, of course, Mudbugs 042 will have their crawfish plates. They'll open early for us. So April 18th, Crawfish Crawl in downtown Brandon, save the date. Lots going on that day, a little bit for everybody. And that's one of our main fundraisers and how you can really support Brandon Main Street in downtown Brandon.
Well, it's definitely growing. People like to run and people like to eat crawfish. So I can see why that's becoming a staple for Brandon Main Street. And I think this Children's Easter Tea Party will be too. I'm not sure how many years y'all are doing that, but it feels like it's going to be a lot of fun. Real quick, where do we get the tickets for that? You said it and then I forgot it.
No, it's okay. BrandonMainStreet.com, all events are live, and they all have links to our ticketing platform. But you can also search Brandon Main Street on SimpleTix.com. The tickets will come up. Or go to our Facebook page, Brandon Main Street Association, or our Instagram handle, which is at Brandon Main Street. And all of the ticket links are listed on those social media platforms, and you can find what you need. We have everything listed all the way through the summer for any upcoming event. So you'll see what we have. You'll see our full lineup for the year.
Well, I appreciate your time, Meredith. Good weather for this weekend. And
yes,
yeah, we'll have you back soon.
Thank you. All righty. Bye.
All righty. If you're not in the Brandon area, maybe you're in the Starkville area. And I know they've got a lot of things going on coming up this weekend, being their spring open house. Paige joins us to tell us a little bit more. Hey, Paige. Oh, we lost Paige, but I know many communities around Mississippi will be having their spring open house, many downtowns, Tupelo being one of them, as well as there in Starkville and others, where they open up their shops and their gatherings downtown to help support your local businesses as we kind of come out of that funk of the winter storms that may be. Maybe you need a new outfit. Maybe you need an Easter outfit. Don't forget about your local shops as being a good place to go to shop for those. As Easter is coming quick, fast, and in a hurry. And a lot of times with the spring open houses, you got great deals. I think we got Paige back to tell us about some of those great deals in Starkville. Paige, you with us?
I am. Thank you for having me, Rebecca and Rhino.
Absolutely. So what's going on in Starkville this weekend? What good things are happening downtown and around town?
Well, the big event this weekend, of course, is it's our first home SEC series. So the Vanderbilt Commodores are coming to Starkville. That's going to be a great baseball matchup. So with the influx of the crowd, we wanted to make sure that we hosted spring open house downtown and around town to get people out and supporting and shopping local. So we've got probably 20 to 30 businesses that are participating, and they'll have different local deals and offers. What we're kind of seeing across the board is a lot of stores are doing 20% off. So that's really exciting. And then we'll have the Easter Bunny downtown for photos as well. So if you have kids this weekend, come on, bring them. And it's take your own pictures. So no cost or charge for that at all, but just good, wholesome Easter pics downtown.
So I would assume we could maybe get our Easter outfits if we haven't done that this weekend, Paige.
Yes. I know this weather has been so crazy, though, and, you know, all across the state. But it looks absolutely perfect this weekend, and I hope that it's like that for Easter, too. There's nothing worse than it being cold on Easter. But, yeah, go ahead and get your Easter frock. So we've got plenty of stores that can help you do that.
So what's kind of the distance between if you're going to the baseball field and then downtown? Or is that like a big haul for people who may be coming in and don't really know much about the geography of Starkville?
No, not at all. It's about a mile and a half to the stadium. So it's definitely walkable, but you're welcome to park and drive. We are under construction right now, but please do not let that deter you. If you visit supportstartville.org or .com, you can find a parking map and plenty of information along with spotlights from our local businesses and just kind of fun little tidbits from our social media to keep you kind of in the loop.
Well, it sounds like a lot of good things happening. I know as the SEC ball games and all start coming to the home, that brings in a lot of influx of people. Is there any other events that you want us to put on our calendar for Startful while we got you, Paige?
Oh, absolutely. So it kind of all kicks off this weekend. Next Friday, we have a new event that we've never done. It's called Battle of the Bartenders. It'll be happening downtown Friday night. So that's a craft cocktail tasting competition. So if you guys are into that, come on in. We're going to have live music, and you'll get to vote on your favorite bartender here in town. So really, really fun event. And then it's Easter weekend, of course, but we are hosting Georgia Thursday through Saturday. And then the following weekends, it just kind of keeps going for a load of fun. So we've got our King Cotton Crawfish Bowl. We have the Cotton District Arts Festival the following weekend. And to close out April, one of your favorites, I know, the Startville Derby.
Well, so. I feel like we're going to have you back on page before the end of April to talk about some of those good things. But the big thing is get out and go shopping this weekend. Get your Easter outfits downtown. I think that's a good way to wind it up. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Rebecca.
All righty. And don't forget, you can always go to msmainstreet.com/calendar to get more information on upcoming events in your area. But stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
For all your glass.
Now back to Rebecca Turner.
One of the most enlightened people in the world.
This is Good Things. Good Things on Super Talk Mississippi.
Good Things. Don't forget we are streaming live as always over at supertalk.fm. Also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. It's free. We hope you have downloaded that. It's also free to find us on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station, or you can watch us if you would like. We are on your computer, your mobile device. You can even watch Supertalk on your Roku, Amazon Fire TV devices, and if you've got YouTube, we're there also. You can watch Supertalk TV live on C-Spire TV. If you have that, we are on Channel 70. I hear that's right next to the Weather Channel. Just go to supertalk.fm/connect to find out a little more. Loving the weather a little better today than maybe the last 2 days, Rhino. It's feeling a little warmer out there. But it's Mississippi, so who knows what it'll be in the next couple of days. But it is looking nice as we move into the weekend. What's also nice is that there's a national day for one of my favorite lunches, dinners, whatever you want to call it, or childhood favorites. And this is always a big debate, at least within my house, because nobody likes them but me. National Sloppy Joe Day. And I feel like I always have to bring it up for us Sloppy Joe lovers out there. You know, I feel like we have to defend our right to a good Sloppy Joe, and there shouldn't be any shame in enjoying a good, delicious, messy Sloppy Joe on occasion. I want my bun toasted. I want mustard on it. And I either want a pickle on it or on the side. You won't like when I say pickle spear or speared pickle or however I say it wrong. But either one goes well with it. And then some of you right now are going, ugh, you can't stand them, don't like them, had bad memories with them. It usually pertains to school. I was going to say church. You may have had them at church. I don't know what kind of church you went to, but it's usually something you either got at home as a weeknight meal that was super easy back in the day, or you got them at school and you've been traumatized by them and no longer like them.
Most of the people I know that enjoy Sloppy Joes did not have their first experience at school.
I know my mom made them, and so I don't really remember them at school or not at school.
I mean, the fact that you have a preference for a toasted bun and some mustard and some pickles.
Are you saying that
it kind of goes to show that you didn't have that bad experience of the nastiest pile of mystery meat in a brown sauce piled onto your plate for a school lunch?
Okay, maybe it skipped us through those years, or I was just too naive to realize that it was a bad lunch, or maybe that's the year that I had my braces and my mom packed my lunch every day and cut my little sandwich up into squares for me so I didn't have to eat them with my braces. But someone texted in mustard, pickles, American cheese. So I got one there. And Jeff in Pontotoc says, dang, I love Sloppy Joe's. And I guess I did not get to my kids before school lunch did. Now, the little one, she's just picky regardless. It's messy. She's not going to eat it. But my older one is just loves a burger, loves spaghetti, you know, likes all those things. But she does not like a Sloppy Joe. And now that I say that out loud, when I was pregnant with her specifically, I loved everything in between two pieces of bread. I made all kinds of sandwiches, and one of my favorite was using like leftover spaghetti and making spaghetti sandwiches as sort of a carved up lunch. Maybe I just ate too many of them, and she isn't a fan of Sloppy Joe's. Do you ever make them at home, Rhino?
I have, but it's not in the regular rotation.
Is it because of?
No, it's just one of those things that never really wound up on my shopping list to have as a staple in the pantry. So nowadays, the only time I make them is if I go by the clearance rack and there's just this lonely jar of Manwich or whatever on the shelf. And I'm like, well, that's 25 cents. I can make a meal out of that.
Well, and that's where you get to some of like the, I guess, Sloppy Joe enthusiast. Do you do the Manwich from the can, or do you make it, because it's super simple to make, like by scratch, you just need like ketchup, mustard, and some other things that you mix into, you don't necessarily have to come from a can or a packet or whatever it may be. I don't care. I just, for whatever reason, that it just hits the sweet spot. And if you really want to add to it, you know, like the little Lay's, the original Lay's potato chips really hit nice too, because of that salty kind of ending with it. You know, it was just a good old American-sized lunch or sort of dinner for you there. Someone mentioned we had redneck Sloppy Joe's called, oh, chicken poop on a shingle, for lack of better words. Well, when you say it like that, it doesn't sound quite that appetizing. And Karen Oxford says, public schools, Salisbury steak, yuck. I mean, okay, see, I told you, this is our day to stand, though, firm, if we had positive experiences with Sloppy Joe's. as a kid, I feel like there needs to be a reclaim of that.
There's a reason people have such fond memories of that pizza, that square pizza from school lunches, because it was the only thing that was actually good.
Well, I think I have fond memories of the squared pizza. And then hang with me. But for a while there, it got shifted and they started offering salads. And they would offer this tuna fish salad that was on a bed of actual lettuce. And it was like a mound of like mostly mayonnaise, I'm sure, like tuna fish. And you got like the crackers and had the boiled egg and all that in there. I don't know. And that was one of those things. I would have never ate that if my mom would have made it at that age. But you got the option, and maybe I've just tucked back the memories of the actual food being served, and I have pleasant thoughts of like being able to choose the tuna fish salad besides that. But I always liked that salad kind of as well. It sticks out as a memory of not being terrible. I liked the vegetable soup and the grilled cheese days. They weren't bad back in the day either. So you make it sound like I'm running out of options, though. I mean, I am running out of things that just brought you joy that you hated that you packed your lunch sort of for. Someone said, well, now you've done it. Now I know what I'm having for supper with some French fries. Yep. Add that in there. Sloppy Joe and French fries. I might fight with my wife about Manwich versus McCormick packet with tomato paste. So which do you prefer? Do you prefer the Manwich can, or do you prefer your Sloppy Joe being made with the McCormick packet with tomato paste? And John in Pontotoc said, I never had a bad school lunch. Army was a different story.
It's a generational thing. Like, the older generations had the sweet little old lady that was working in the kitchen that was making recipes that she'd been making for years, just making them bigger. I think our generation was the one where it's like, I don't recognize the people in the kitchen.
Well, and they don't make as, I mean, this painting with the broad brush, that's not, it became, because the number of students to be served outdid the number of people that could be in the kitchen to cook fresh. That is a legitimate problem that you have. So many things started to become halfway done before it got there to ease the burden of the cooking time. And then they took out certain fryers and things of that nature for other reasons. And so there's a combination of things that maybe made it less appetizing. But I will say you've got a lot of child nutrition offices, which is who runs your school cafeterias across the state, that are really trying to work uphill against the battles to provide more fresh, wholesome, and like more delicious meals. But yes, in a simpler time, several generations ago, your cafeteria ladies were the same as going to grandma's lunch on Sunday. They saw chicken pot pie on the menu and they made it exactly like they would have had you been going to their home. And there's a lot to be said for that as well. But it would be hard for 12 grandmas to make lunch for 1,200 students in a timely manner. So there
is somehow they thought quinoa would work.
You know?
At least that's gone the way of the dodo.
I mean, I like it, but I don't think I'd have ate it at 12 or 13, so I don't know.
It's basically gruel.
It's
quinoa is gruel.
Bad. It is not bad. It's high in protein, high in fiber. It's I wouldn't add
it. That's why it's gruel. That's what the medieval peasants ate to sustain themselves.
Karen in Oxford said, the ice cream scoop of spaghetti wasn't bad all bad. And Chris in Como said the beef vegetable soup and the PB&J sandwiches were good. The beef vegetable soup with the grilled cheese was good. Maybe you were just so hungry by the time you made it there. You enjoyed these different things. And the soup came in the little styrofoam cup or the little bowl or whatever it was. Enjoyed that as well. See? Maybe you just didn't have the same, you had higher expectations for your school lunch back in the day, Rhino. Did you ever take your lunch?
Oh, yeah, that for the very reason we're talking about.
Did you pack your own lunch?
I'd rather have a brown bag sandwich with a warm soft drink wrapped in tinfoil because that's going to keep it cool.
Did your mom make your lunch or did you pack your lunch?
Mom packed it because she didn't trust me to pack it.
What would you have packed?
It would have probably been double the sandwiches
snacks.
And chips and snacks.
You
would
just went into the pantry and just put a bunch of snacks in your bag. Yeah. That's what a lot of kids do.
And then by the end of the week, there would have been no more left to pack with, and Mom would have been angry at me.
Or, I mean, and still the trading's going on. I mean, my little one still takes two honey buns to trade with one with somebody else for whatever. So whatever kids get an extra honey bun, I'm sorry. It's my fault. All right. Stick with us. We got more fun for you coming up next.
From the Seabrook.
Good things.
I discovered it in carpool.
With Rebecca Turner.
It's legitimately amazing.
On Super Talk Mississippi.
Good things. Don't forget we are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. Also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app and your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. You can watch us too. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. And the game of Mahjong, did I get it right? I think I said it correctly. Or we're going to learn through about it today. Has grown and is growing in popularity here in Mississippi. Lots of people are gathering together to spend quality fellowship time playing the game. And it's growing in partnership with businesses across the state as well. And joining us today is Jessica and Elizabeth to talk about the game and kind of the growing interest in it. So welcome to you both.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Did I say it correctly, Jessica?
You absolutely did.
Okay, well, you say it again because I've been practicing.
Mahjong.
Mahjong. Mahjong. Okay. So first off, kind of explain it. How does the game kind of give us a little bit? You don't have to go full detail, but for those who have heard the name but maybe don't understand it, how do you best describe it to someone who's new to it?
Okay, so you are dealt 14 tiles, or 13, 14, and you are trying to make order out of chaos.
So it's like everyday life.
Pretty much so.
Very
yes.
much so.
Yes.
You're a tile collector. That is the whole
kind of idea of it.
The idea is you're a tile collector.
And so what's the point of the tiles? So making patterns or making...
You match one line on the card.
Mm-hmm. And the card is from the National Mahjong League.
Uh-huh.
And it drops every year, about April the 1st, after mm-hmm. the Chinese New Year.
Yep, we're waiting on our new card.
Today, they dropped a mock card.
Maybe a little bit.
They get a mock card today that mm-hmm. you can mark off the lines for the year. So it is going crazy right now of everybody getting the first glimpse
okay,
of the card.
Okay, so because it may be, and when I say new to a lot of people, and mm-hmm. it's definitely new and growing in popularity, the game is not new.
It is not.
And it's really not American-based. So,
correct.
Again, not history school here, but Jessica, but like kind of give us a little bit of the background of the game.
Okay, it originated in China around the 1800s. And then a wealthy businessman who was doing some work in China brought it back to America in around 1920 after learning to play while he was in China. And so it took off from there. And it was first picked up by society women, and then the Jewish women picked it up, and they formed the National Mahjong League. In 1937. So it's been around for a long time.
Well, it's been around for a long time, and I feel like there's those who know it, but I really feel like it's just booming right now in popularity. So, Elizabeth, how did you get in touch with the game? When did you come in contact with it?
I think it was October, 2 years, be 2 years this October. I was actually in the hospital and fighting for my life, and I ran across this automatic Mahjong table on Instagram, and I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to learn this game. And Jessica and I have been friends for a long time, and she posted, hey, let's learn Mahjong, and I'm like, I'm game. And so a year ago, February, the week of mm-hmm. Super Bowl, mm-hmm. basically, we went to our first Mahjong class and got the bug.
Got the bug. Okay, so yep. This is also a good group game. I know that's what draws a lot of people in, fellowship. I'm really getting reminiscences of like Bunko, why Bunko
correct.
Was so high. It was because people came together. Not that the games are anything alike, but it just gave fellowship opportunities with also doing something that was a little competitive, having a lot of fun in that sort of way. So is that part of it, Jessica, that keeps people coming? And how many can play at one time?
Four.
Four. So
four can play at one time.
When
so
you gather,
four to a table.
There's four to a table.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And events can be, you know, four people, or it can be hundreds of people playing, as long as we have space for, you know, four.
Now, is it like poker? Does it get down to like the end table, or is the whole point is just sticking at your table and completing the game?
Sticking at your okay. table and completing the game.
Have y'all completed the game? I hear that's a big deal, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
We finished the game. I have not finished the card.
Right.
Okay.
We
so
haven't finished the card.
We haven't, but this year, you know, that is one of my goals, is try and finish the card to make every line on that card. Because last year, we just learned the game, and we went mosh crazy.
You and a lot of people. And two, as you mentioned, Jessica, you have been partnering with local businesses to offer this for, you know, more community to get together,
yes.
have a social outlet, should I say. How is that going to work?
Well, Elizabeth and I partner with restaurants. I partnered with a candy business. Just any place that has space for us to play, we welcome the opportunity to bring them business on rather slow nights that they otherwise wouldn't have anybody using their back room. And so we like to support local.
So is there like a Mississippi League or like a county league? Or are we growing into that? How does this, you know, how do you see it sort of stacking up, Jessica?
There are several leagues. There is the Mississippi Maj Club, and anyone in the state can join that. And then several other groups. There is Madison Mahjong. There is my group, which is the Loud Tile Society. There's Elizabeth's group, which is the Mahjong Hour. So there are a lot of groups, and they're all over the state, and they're all doing the same thing that we're doing, which is supporting local businesses and partnering with them.
So if you're new to it, Elizabeth, it feels a little overwhelming or, I guess, intimidating. Should it be, or is it an easy game anyone can play?
Never get intimidated by the game. I was never a game player, so I don't know what Bunko is. I just played a little bit of poker and blackjack, you know, and I could count to 21. And so that's what I tell everybody about Mahjong. If you know your evens and your odds,
mm-hmm.
and you can count to nine,
either
one of us, no, you can, yeah. That's it. You can learn the game. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, my daughter is special needs, and I taught her how to play Mahjong. So I don't use that as, oh, my daughter's special needs, I can teach you Mahjong. It's just like, there's so many different levels you can come in.
Uh-huh. And kids are starting to play now.
Yes.
They've come out with kid sets.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard it's very relaxed, like in a weird way, it's relaxing, yes. Even though it's you can be stressed at the same time.
You can check out for a minute. That's what I tell some of the ladies that I teach or whatever. I'm like, hey, I'll change your name tonight. You know, you're not going to be mama. You're not going to be your first name, whoever calls your name all day long. This is a time for all of us to come together. Moms check out, dads check out.
We talk about mostly it being women, but is this mixed who come and enjoy the game, men and women?
Yes, my husband plays. I've got him teaching lessons with me now. We're about to do the first couples Mahjong event in Madison on April 2nd at Georgia Blue, and we love it. We absolutely love it. We get to spend time with our friends. Women have a different aspect. They're there for the relaxation. The men bring the competition.
They're there to win.
They're there to win, and everybody just has a great time playing.
Now at Bunko, you would win prizes. So are there prizes involved in this, or is it more bragging rights?
Or could it be both? A little bit of both. Some people play for money. We don't. I've never played for money.
And we're not talking about big money. We're talking about like 25 cents, you know, don't bring your pennies, you know, dimes, quarters, all that. But, it all depends on who you play with and what's going on. But we always try to give the hostess, if somebody, you know, like we do private parties, you know, give the hostess a gift. Or if not, we try and do, if we're new beginners that are learning that night, we make sure that they go home with something.
What are some of your upcoming events, Jessica, for people to know about?
Okay, I have partnered with Georgia Blue, and we are doing events at their three locations in the metro area, Madison, Brandon, and Flowood. And, that's Jenna Bennis in Brandon. So I have an event this Thursday night in Flowood, next Thursday night in Brandon, and then a couples Mahjong event on April 2nd in Madison. So it's really good for our local businesses that want to host.
How do we get connected with you to do that?
Follow me on Loud Tile Society on Instagram, and tickets can be purchased there as well. There is a ticket link.
We have someone who says, I like playing Mahjong on my phone app. If you like that, tell them how much fun it is in person.
it's so good in person. But a lot of people love that because they can learn the game, and it gives you tips on how to make your line. And there's some really good apps like I Love Maj and
Maj
for Friends. And you can play with your other friends if you're all sitting at home at night and just log into the game.
How long does one of the events normally last, Jessica?
It usually lasts about 2.5 hours. That's what we usually aim for. That way we don't take up too much of the staff's time so they can leave the restaurants when they're supposed to.
But sometimes it's exciting. I'm just going to put it that way because people are out having fun, and you may look up and it's 9 o'clock and you're like, okay, ladies, we got to.
But I love this. It's supporting local businesses. It's creation of community.
Yes.
It's an outlet for stress and just sort of mental break, as you sort of mentioned. It's all good. So is there a way we can follow you, Elizabeth?
Yeah, I have an Instagram called The Mahjong Hour. I work with Jessica and Madison Mahjong, but my part, I could have took a couple steps back the last 2 months, but my adventure is events and giving back to the community in different ways, you know, like do, you know, cancer events for cancer, the Little Lighthouse, which is now Harbor Day, and things like that in the community, and keep it in the state, in the town.
Well, I love it. Thank you for opening us up to this statewide kind of movement, and we'll have to keep in touch with it for sure. All right, you guys stick with this. We got more for you coming up next.
Rebecca Turner,
aka Bed Bath & Beyonce.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner on supertalk.fm, the Supertalk app, and your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station.
Welcome back to Good Things. Don't forget we are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. Also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app at your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. You can watch us too. We are on that computer, that mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. And don't forget our Supertalk Mississippi news team. They are always covering your stories and they do such a good job of it. We want you to stay updated. They get their free weekly newsletter. It comes out on Friday. So we're not to Friday yet, unfortunately, but we're closer than we were. So there's still plenty of time for you to put in that email address and get your free newsletter coming out on Friday. You can do that over at supertalk.fm/newsletter. You can also say hi on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. We got a text in talking about the game of Mahjong. Did I say it correctly, Rhino? I feel like it's a very intimidating word. Castlewoods Country Club has Mahjong Madness on Thursday nights, and then Aaron is the one who mentioned that they like playing on their phone. I feel like this is could be up your alley. Have you ever played, Rhino? Is that something you have ever dealt or dabbled? Is the word I was looking for. Dabbled in.
We had a Mahjong program or app on the first computer I ever played with, but I've never played it in person. And if I'm not mistaken, usually, and I could be wrong, it could be a modern thing where the apps are you're playing someone else, but my idea of Mahjong was always more like a puzzle game where you had the crazy intricate designs and the little Mahjong tiles and you had to match them to take them off of the thing and you tried to clear the board. That was the program and the app and the game I was familiar with. It wasn't until probably 5 or 6 years ago that I came to the realization that no, Mahjong is played a lot like dominoes at a table with multiple people.
And then the whole, I think it's cool to have the whole card that comes out like annually and brings the whole kind of world together in that way. I see this being one of those things that can really like blow up fast, you know, like in terms of in popularity, it's something you can do home and with your kids, but kind of like the game of chess where you can, you know, have like the competitiveness to it. I just love this idea of, you know, these community members bringing together more community at a local business on a night that they normally wouldn't have a whole lot of folks, giving them something to do, you know, and this is where it's different ages and stages of your life where, you know, Jessica was talking about me being in a busier season where my Thursday nights probably don't look very open, right? But there's going to be a lot of folks who now find themselves empty nesters, but still wanting to be, you know, get out and fellowship or do something, or you're maybe in a transition where you have, you know, a little bit more weeknight freedom and getting out and being able to sort of do something for a couple hours, I think is definitely a good thing. And don't be afraid of like trying something new. One of the things Jessica was mentioning is they were leaving out of Good Things was just the number of people, there are different people she's met. And that's the cool thing with all of these things that bring, that you do later in life. We spend so much focus on kids and sports and why it's good and all that, like team sports. But these are doing the same things for adults later in life. You don't have to be aspiring to be a professional or aspiring to like, you know, make it, it can just be a hobby, like for fun, whether it's pickleball or, you know, Mahjong or, you know, drawing classes.
In fairness, that should be applied to kids' sports too.
Totally fair. But like
pottery
classes, you know, when you have the thing where you come and learn to paint and then you can have a few drinks and, you know, the fellowship kind of like sort of behind it. It's just this way of socializing, which is such a good, good part for your overall health as well, which I think is the just the what's the word I'm looking for? Like carefree socialization or no strings attached, kind of just gathering for the fun of it. And that's what made bingo so fun was like, you know, you or not bingo, well, bingo maybe. Well, maybe that does like bingo makes it fun for a certain. But I was thinking of, what did I say? Now it just completely bunko. My mom never played bunko, but I had friends, parents who did. And that was a big thing in the early 2000s, late 90s. But it was the same thing. You met what?
Didn't it just replace, what do they call it, club?
Club or like, you know, cards or whatever it may be. It was just an excuse once a month to go and, you know, my grandmother, before she left us in her late 70s, had bridge, you know, that
bridge, that's the one I was thinking
that
of.
She would go and do and all the things. So it's just the
like
new
the 80s
way of doing
into the
it.
90s had bridge, 90s into the 2000s had bunko. Now I guess it's Mahjong.
Mahjong, which is funny because it's like, what, it's ancient. Like, it's not new. I mean, it's just new to us kind of hearing in the way that we're playing it.
Aaron, excuse me, in Meridian said, Sequence is a game me and my family loves to play. Highly recommend playing it. So maybe that's a different one. I don't know, but I think if it sounds fun to you and your local community or your favorite restaurant offers it on a weird Tuesday, Thursday night, stop by, have an appetizer, order a beverage of your choice, and try to learn something new. Be awkward, laugh, have fun, that kind of thing. The world needs more of that for sure. And then tip your waiter and waitresses. All right, stick with us. You got more up next. You got the Boys with Sports Talk from 3 to 6. Rhino and I'll meet you back here tomorrow at 2. But until then, I hope you all find time for the good things.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.